Ako po si John Maynes, and I serve bilang isa sa mga elders dito sa Crossroads. Kamusta po ang week nyo? Yeah, good to hear that. I hope this week ay marami tayong bagay na ipagpapasalamat sa Panginoon. Oh, one of the things we do as a family when we pray every Thursday night, we look back dun sa past week na yon and we thank God sa kanyang kabutihan. And being in the church and to gather with you is isa sa mga bagay na we are thankful sa Panginoon. We are thankful dahil kami na-encourage sa inyo na makakasama kayo, makita ko kayo. Alam ko, marami sa inyo pagod. Pagod the whole week, pagod today, maraming trabaho. And marami sa inyo inaantok na. Huwag muna po kayo matutulog ngayon. Tapusin natin ang service, saka tayo magplano ng tulog. Pero I want you to know po na ang inyong presence ay malaking encouragement sa karamihan sa atin. And personally, ako po ay na-encourage na makita kayo, makita ang mga kids, families, and to gather with you, to hear God's word, to sing, to hear yung congregational singing natin, and to worship God with you together. Salamat po sa Panginoon dahil sa church. Ang church ay means of grace ng Panginoon sa bawat Kristiyano. Ito po ay ginagamit ng Panginoon upang tayo ay ma-edify, tayo ma-encourage, tayo ay mag-grow, and to guard yung heart natin, to guard yung life natin. So, yun po yung means of grace ng Panginoon through the church. And yan din po ang tema ng ating series sa Book of Ephesians. About the church, the glory of God in and through the church. I-display ng Panginoon ang kanyang glory through the church. So, ang book po na ito ay rich in theology. Nung binaba, pinag-aaralan ko po ito, ay parang nadi-discourage ako. Parang hindi ko alam kung paano ko ipipreach ang Book of Ephesians. Ito po ay rich in theology, kaya naman po maraming theologian, ito ang favorite book nila. John Calvin, ito ang favorite book, Ephesians. Tinatawag po ito ng karamihan na queen of all epistles. Sa lahat ng sinulat ni Paul, ito ang outstanding. Ito, sabi ng iba, ito ay the divinest composition of man. Ganito po nila i-describe ang Ephesians. Sa book na ito, you will see and understand ang lalim ng gospel. Lalim, lawak, makikita natin how glorious ang grace ng Panginoon and what it means to be united to Christ. Ito yung mga theme na mababasa natin dito. At ito din po ay manifesto ng church. May encounter niyo po yung mga repeated words dito, repeated idea sa book na ito, which is central sa theology ni Paul. Ang word na riches, 5 times. Ang word na grace, 12 times. Ang word na glory, 8 times. Fullness or filled up or fills, 6 times. And yung key phrase na in Christ or in Him, 15 times. Sabi ni John MacArthur, Christ is the source, the spear, and the guarantee of every spiritual blessings and of all spiritual riches. Those who are in Him have access to all what Christ is and what Christ has. To give you po ng overview ng Book of Ephesians, ito po ay madidivide natin sa dalawang major na division. Chapter 1 to 3 is doctrinal or yung position ng isang Kristiyano dahil kay Kristo. What God has done in Christ Jesus to know yung riches and privileges na meron ng isang Kristiyano who are in Christ. And pagdating po sa chapter 4 to 6, ito po yung practical application. How the people should live. Common po kay Paul to give muna po yung doctrinal statement, and then after po ibibigay niya ang practical. And before niya po ibigay yon, ang common na ginagamit niya is therefore. So yun po yung makikita nating division ng chapter na to. Therefore, parang ganito po yon. In light sa truth ng chapter 1 to 3, therefore you should live this way, chapter 4 to 6. Yun po yung practical application ng theology ng chapter 1 to 3. my hope and prayer sa series na ito ay makita natin yung lalim ng gospel. Ano ang ginawa ng Diyos to redeem you and me? And nawa, it should encourage us, it should lead us, instead of questioning, it should lead us to worship. And also, malaman natin na we are saved to be in a church, to be in a community, community of believers. Dahil po ang church is central sa plano ng Diyos. Tonight, we will go through po sa first two verses ng chapter 1. Hindi po ganito ang magiging rate ng takbo natin. Otherwise, hindi natin matatapos ang Ephesians. Sa ngayon lang po, first two verses, introduction, overview, and I want us to see what God has done and anong meron tayo in Christ Jesus. Si Paul ay sumulat when he was in prison sa Rome. Nakakulong po siya because of Christ. Sa kabila ng kalagayan niya, sumulat siya na may joy and celebration. Celebration dahil sa kadakilaan ng Diyos. And I want us na magkaroon ng joy to glorify God sa ating buhay, kagaya ni Paul. Yan ang main idea ng ating passage tonight. God is glorified when you recognize His work and His blessings in Christ Jesus. Paul gives us two ways how we can give glory sa Panginoon. First is, recognize the work of God in Christ, verse 1. Second, receive the blessings in Christ, verse 2. Tignan po natin yung first way to glorify God. That is, recognize the work of God in Christ. Meron po akong dalawang sub-points doon. Ano yung mga work na yon? Work of salvation ng Panginoon. Work sa Scripture. The authority ng Scripture. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Common structure ng letter o ang pinaka updated na communication nung panahon na yon is letter. So, ang common structure ng letter during that time is to write yung first name ng author, and then yung sumunod doon ay greetings, sumunod ay yung body ng letter, and then yung prologue or yung last remarks. So, makikita po natin ang author ay si Paul. Sino ba si Paul? Kilala din siya as Saul. Pinangalan siya sa unang hari ng Israel, si Haring Saul, King Saul. Pareho sila from the tribe of Benjamin. Ito ang pride ng tribe of Benjamin, si Saul. So, may mga nagsasabi na nag-change daw ng pangalan si Saul to Paul nung naging Kristiyano. Pero hindi po yun ang reason, hindi po yun ang case. Si Saul ay naging Paul. Unang nabasa natin siya ay naging Paul sa Acts 13 verse 9. Yun po yung nag-enter na siya sa kanyang mission sa mga Gentiles. Outside, Gentiles po is non-Jew. Yun po, yun na po yung pumasok siya, nag-ano na siya sa mission, and tinawag po siyang Saul doon sa verse na yon. Ang Paul po ay Greek name, and ang Saul is Hebrew name. So, ginamit niya ang Greek name kapag siya ay nag-mission sa mga Gentile. Ano pa ang background ni Paul? Look at Philippians 3 verses 4 to 6. And I read, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Wow! Si Paul ay Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a strict follower ng Mosaic law, a Pharisee na may matinding devotion and zealousness. Matindi ang discipline ng tao na to pagdating sa pagiging banal. He was doing everything to gain ang favor ng Panginoon. And para sa kanya, one way to gain ang favor ng Panginoon is to persecute ang church. To persecute ang mga Christians. He believed na Jesus and His followers ay isang malaking blasphemy, isang malaking heresy, isang malaking kulto. Yan ang tingin ni Paul sa Kristyanismo. And he believed na kailangang mawala ang Kristyanismo dahil ito ay against the Judaism. He hated Jesus. Paul ay isa sa greatest enemy ng church during that time. Many Christians were murdered, napakulong, because of Paul. Balik tayo sa verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paano nangyari yan? Isang taong galit kay Jesus, kaaway ng church, ay naging apostle. Makikita natin yan sa Acts 9. Ito po yung conversion story ni Paul. Sabi sa Acts 9 verses 1 to 2, sabi doon, but Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Matindi po ang galit ni Paul dito. Humingi si Paul ng letter sa high priest saka sa Damascus para i-hunt niya yung mga follower ni Christ. And sabi rin, pag nakita niya, dadakipin niya, ipapakulong niya. Ganon katindi ang galit ni Paul. Pero tignan niyo sa verses 3 to 6, same chapter, chapter 9. Now as he, that's Paul, went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly, a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. So, si Paul, na-encounter niya and witness the resurrected Jesus. And from here, Jesus commissioned him na maging apostle. Look at verses 10 to 16, chapter 9. Jesus, inutusan si Ananias na pumuntahan si Saul para i-restore yung bulag na mata ni Saul. May hesitation, natakot si Ananias. Sabi niya, kilala ko yan. Lord, masamang tao yan. Kalaban ng church yan. Persecutor yan. Sabi sa verse 15 to 16, sinagot ni Jesus si Ananias. Sabi niya, go for he is chosen. Instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he will suffer for the sake of my name. Sabi sa Galatians 1:15-17, but when the one who set me apart, I'm emphasizing yung mga word na yan, importante ito sa Book of Ephesians, but when the one who set me apart, that is Paul, from my mother's womb, so he was set apart from mother's womb, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I would proclaim the gospel about him among the Gentiles. Anong common sa conversion and commissioning ni Paul? The only common dito is, it's the sovereign work of God. By the will of God. It's so clear na it's not about the will ni Paul. Hindi ito pag-gising niya sa umaga, nag-decide siya, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ. Hindi po yun. He was breathing ng murder, ng galit sa verse 1 ng Acts 9. He wanted to destroy ang Christianity. So it's not about Paul's will, kaya siya naging apostle. Wala siyang intention to follow Christ. He was so zealous sa kanyang belief na he can merit ang salvation by working harder to obey ang Mosaic law. But when he encountered yung risen Christ, when God transformed yung kanyang heart, he realized he could never, ever gain ang favor ng Panginoon by his own works. All the things that he know and believe and mga na-achieve niya in the name of religion, si Paul po ay isang napakatalinong estudyante ni Gamaliel. And Gamaliel is one of the famous sharp na teacher ng panahon na yun, even sa history ng Israel, they iba ang record ni Gamaliel. He's a very kilalang prominent na teacher, and Paul is Pharisee of Pharisee. Sharp tong tao na to. He knows ang Bible, ang Scripture, Old Testament from cover to cover. He's so zealous to follow ang mga law na ito. Pero all the things, lahat ng na-achieve niya, ang ginamit niyang word is rubbish, basura. Basura, compare saan? Compare to surpassing worth of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Yan po ay nakita natin sa Philippians 3, 7 to 9. Friends, if you are here and you know na wala kang relasyon kay Kristo, and you think na by doing some Christian work will help you, you think na dahil Kristiyano parents mo, lumaki ka sa church, you know yung language, you know the song, nagbabasa ka ng Bible, complete attendance ka sa mga Bible study, regular ka, nagbibigay sa offering, that's all good po, hindi po evil yan. Pero I want you to listen. Inig kayo. Apart from faith kay Kristo, faith sa kanyang ginawa para sa iyong kaligtasan, that He lived a perfect life na you can never ever live. He died on your behalf dahil sa iyong kasalanan. He rose from the dead. Ito ay victory over sin and death. Lahat ng ginagawa mong religious activity, even with good intention, is like filthy rags sa harapan ng Diyos. Apart from Christ, you can never please God. You must repent from your sins and repent from your self-righteousness. Bitawan mo ang mga religious activity mo na akala mo magdadala sa iyo sa kaharian ng Diyos. Wala tayong pinag-iba kay Paul. Even with zealousness to please God, never nating mamimit ang requirement ng Diyos. You must believe in the risen Christ and you will be saved. I emphasize kanina yung mga word na chosen, called, set apart. Ano po ang clear doon sa mga action word na yun? It's a work of God. Paul's salvation is a work of grace ng Panginoon. Eh bro, eh special kasi si Paul eh. Hindi ganyan ang storya ko. Kung ikaw ay Kristiyano ngayon, ito din ang storya mo. God sovereignly called you to saving faith in Christ. Yes po, tama yung narinig nyo. Even your faith is a gift from God. It's not something na na-generate mo sa sarili mo. Na gumising ka, yes, I want to decide. I will follow Christ. May encounter natin yan as we go sa Book of Ephesians. Ano ang kalagayan natin before Christ's work, before the work ng Holy Spirit sa ating heart. Faith po is the result ng new birth. Tinatawag na new birth or tinatawag natin na regeneration. Sabi ni Jesus kay Nicodemus, John 3, unless you are born again, unless you are born from above, born from God, you can never enter the kingdom of God or even see the kingdom of God. Kailangan ma-regenerate ang dead heart natin before we can even exercise ng faith. Balik tayo sa verse 1 ng Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Para kanino ang sulat na to? Sabi ron, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Sino ba yung mga saints? Unang-una, ang sulat na ito ay sa mga saints, sinasabi, para basahin sa churches. Ibig sabihin, buhay ang mga saints. Babasahin nila ito. Buhay po ang audience ni Paul dito. So, mali po ang paniniwala na ang mga saints ay may, yung mga taong may kakaibang kabaitan o kabutihan o mga elite na Kristiyano na kung may mga nagawa kang miracle sa iyong lifetime at namatay ka na, pwede kang i-consider na saints. Hindi po yun ang saints. Hindi yan ang biblical description ng saints. Saints ay common na ina-address ni Paul ay mga believers. Kayo po ay saints. Ang katabi niyo ay saints. Pwede niyo po tawagin ang isa't isa na saint, Saint John. Huwag niyo na po ako tawagin. Yung po ay common. Makikita niyo sa 1 Corinthians 1-2, in-address ni Paul ang mga believers as saint. Believers. So, hindi po higher level ng Christianismo ang saints. Ang word na saints sa Greek ay hagios. Ang ibig sabihin po nito ay, most of the time ito ay ginamit, so ang word na to ay holy. So we can replace ito to the Holy One in Ephesus. So Holy One, you are holy. We are holy. Ang believer ay holy. Yung po ang holy na yung po ang saints na ang word na yon, hagios sa Greek ay holy. Majority po nga ng usage nito ay holy. Ang idea po ng holy ay otherness or set apart. Set apart by God. Which remind us yung Israel. Naalala niyo po ba Israel sa Old Testament? Israel is holy. In a sense, sila ay set apart by God. Pinili sila ng Diyos for a purpose. Hindi Israel ang pumili sa Diyos. They were set apart by God. Yung po rin po, yung same word ang ginamit dito, saints are those who are set apart by God. Hindi sinasabi ni Paul na ang mga tao sa Ephesus ay nabuhay ng extraordinary, blameless na pamumuhay. Pero good po yun kung mamimit natin yung ganon. Rather, ang emphasis ni Paul dito is, kagaya ng nangyari sa kanya, na appointed by God to be an apostle, saved by the grace of God. All believers are separated to God. Separation po ang main idea ng word na holy. Saints were holy because God set them apart to be His people. I hope naging clear na po. Ang focus ay entirely on God's action, on God's saving work. Balikan po natin yung verse 1. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Ang word na faithful can be translated na in active sense, which means someone who trusts another or believer. Yan po yung faithful. I believe yun po yung tamang reading doon, yung active sense na yun. And kasi po, it makes sense sa context. And in agreement po yan sa, ang Book of Ephesians, ay napakalaki po ng similarity sa Book of Colossians. Yung wordings, merong mga exact wordings na similar. Kaya po yan ang isa sa naging contest na si Paul ba talaga ang author? They believe na ang Ephesians ay galing lang sa Colossians. So, dahil po sa parallel na yon, and it makes sense na ito ay yung active sense na faithful is believer. Saints are those who are believers in Christ. Ang phrase na in Christ or in Christ Jesus, in Jesus, paulit-ulit po natin ma-encounter to. Remember, 15 times po ito sa Book of Ephesians. Ito po, ibig sabihin ay emphasis. Ito po ay mahalaga. Ito ay, yung in Christ Jesus, ito po ay one of the most significant or difficult points sa theology ni Paul, sa mga writings ni Paul. And dahil ito po ay center ng how Paul understood and explained ang salvation. Yung 13 letters po ni Paul, ginamit ang in Christ, in the Lord, in Him, or yung similar expression, 164 times. Ang phrase na ito expresses ng oneness and identity that a believer shares with Christ. Ang gospel ni Paul ay gospel about union with Christ. And yan ang meaning ng verse 1. Book of Ephesians focuses more on union with Christ and being in Christ. Balik tayo sa verse 1. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Ang word na Ephesus po ay wala po yan sa early manuscript. Hindi po nakasulat ang Ephesus. Ang early manuscript po ay parang ganito po yung nakasulat. To the saints who are blank and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Yan po yung early manuscript. Maraming theologian believes na ang letter na to is a circular letter. Hindi po siya specifically naka-address sa isang church na kagaya ng ibang letter ni Paul na to the Corinthians. Ito po ay circular. Yun ang ano nila, kaya wala po yung Ephesus na yon. So, it's a circular letter dahil malaki po ang population ng Ephesus. Si Paul po ay nag-minister doon. Doon po nag-stay si Paul ng pinakamatagal kumpara sa kanyang journey sa Ephesus. Nag-stay po siya roon ng almost 3 years. So, yun nga po, maraming theologian naniwala na ito ay circular, na ito ay ikakalat sa mga churches. Nagkopya sila, so tinanggal nila yung Ephesus, sinusulatan na lang nila kung saan church pupunta. And maano natin na ito ay isang general letter. Hindi po in-address sa Book of Ephesians kung ano yung problema ng church kumpara sa ibang writings ni Paul. So, makikita po natin sa Acts 19 verse 10, ang sabi doon, ang kanyang pangangaral ni Paul continued for 2 years sa Ephesus so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So, ito po yung reason na malaking ang populasyon ng Kristyanismo dito sa lugar na to. And isa po itong tanyag na city, ang Ephesus. Isa to sa sentro ng Roman Empire. Yun po, ito ay isang general letter na we can say na magmamatch sa ating context. We need to know na ang reason po nito ni Paul is yung Christian believers doon is to know ano ang position nila kay Christ and ano yung mga privilege, ano yung richness na meron sila in Christ. Yun po yung gustong i-remind ni Paul dito sa mga believers na to. Which is, yun nga po, general letter na nagmamatch din sa atin. So we can read ang verse 1 ng ganito. Papalitan natin yung pangalan na Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Crossroad Church of Dubai and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Kagaya din po nila tayo. Tayo noon ay parang si Paul who rejects Jesus in many ways, in different ways. But when the grace of God appeared to you dahil sa preaching ng gospel, when He opened your eyes, nakita mo how sinful you are and how glorious ang cross ni Jesus Christ. And you repented from your sin and run to the cross for your salvation and forgiveness of your sin. And now, all you can say is, all glory be to Christ. Yan po ang istorya ng bawat isa sa atin. Pero ito pa rin ba ang posture ng heart natin? Kapag ba sinulat sa atin ni Paul ito, magmamatch sa atin? Kaya mo pa bang awitin with joy, with amazement, ang amazing grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, like you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Say with Paul, you are a follower of Christ by the will of God. Saved by the grace of God. Recognizing that salvation is the work of God alone. Ito ay glorifying sa Diyos. And recognizing the authority of the Word of God is also glorifying sa Diyos. Yan po yung second sub-point natin. Recognize the authority of Scripture. Balik tayo sa verse 1. Hindi po tayo alis muna sa verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Ang ibig sabihin ng word na apostle ay messenger, ambassador, or sent one. Ito ay customary kay Paul to start ang letter niya identifying himself as an apostle. Apostle of Christ, appointed by God. Yan po yung ginagamit ni Paul. He is establishing ng authority dito. Hindi siya nagyayabang dito. Ang story po rito, na hindi niya niyayabang, hey Paul, ako si Paul. Ang sinasabi niya rito, ito ang ginawa ng Diyos. Ako ang some example ng grace ng Panginoon. So walang boast, walang pride dito si Paul. He is establishing ng authority. Bakit? Dahil madami ang nakikwestion ng kanyang apostleship. Kung maalala po natin, ang requirements na para maging apostle is you have to be an eyewitness ni Kristo. And patay na po si Jesus dito. Si Paul ay bata ng mga 10 years kay Jesus. So, nung kinacrucify si Jesus, around 20 years old si Paul, hindi niya nakita si Jesus. Pero yung conversion story niya, that qualify him. Dahil na-meet niya ang risen Christ, nakausap niya. So, yun po ang sinasabi niya rito, he's establishing ng authority. Pero, ang idea po is not yung apostle is not just sent. Ang idea po rin is not just to send ng messenger, ay punta ka rin. Ang idea po rito is yung authority that Christ gave to him. Binigyan po siya ng authority. Ang word na Christ Jesus, ang Christ Jesus po, pag binasa natin sa original language na Greek, ito po ay may tinatawag po na genitive form. Yung word na to na Christ Jesus. Ang ibig po sabihin nito, ito ay nag-express ng possession or being a subject. Ang sinasabi ng verse na ito is, Paul is owned by Christ but given full authority para maging ambassador ni Christ. So ang apostle is someone who is sent out on a mission with fully delegated authority by his master, Jesus Christ. Halimbawa po, king. Meron siyang bagong ordinansa, may bago siyang batas. Pinapunta niya ang kanyang messenger sa kabilang bayan. At sinabi niya, ito ang sabihin mo, ang lahat ng tao dapat sumunod. With the seal, nung ring niya. Ipuano ng ano. And I'm sure, ang mga tao doon ay makikinig doon sa messenger. Because they know na itong tao na to is from the king. Ang salita nito ay ang salita ng king. Yun po yung messenger. Yun po ang authority ni Paul. Ang word ni Paul ay word ni Christ. Hindi po nag-volunteer si Paul sa ministry na to. We all know kanina, nakabasa natin kanina, he was an apostle by the will of God, appointed by Christ. Ang mga sulat ni Paul at ng iba pang mga authors ay hindi sariling opinion nila. At ito ay hindi optional for you to consider. It's a must to submit to the authority ng Word of God, whether it is comfortable sa'yo, or hindi. Ang iyong emotion, ang iyong nararamdaman is not the final authority kung susundin mo ang scripture o hindi. It's the word of God who stand above us. Tayo ay nasa ilalim ng scripture. Disobedience sa word ng messenger is rejection ng king. Disobedience sa word ni Paul is rejection kay Christ. Yun po yung weight nun. And you don't want to reject the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's a disaster po para sa inyo, para sa atin. So bilang isang Kristiyano, subject tayo ng ating Panginoon and we are bounded to obey His words. Bilang isang church, we must recognize ang authority ng mga letter ni Paul at hindi lang si Paul, lahat ng nagsulat ng scripture that were appointed by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Dahil yan ay may full authority and should be the final authority sa buhay mo. Yan ang statement of faith natin dito sa Crossroad with regard sa Bible. Let me read po para ma-remind tayong lahat. Makikita niyo po yan sa ating website. Ito po yung pinaniniwalaan natin. We believe that the Holy Bible was inspired by God, written by man, is completely free from error. It's a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction and reveals the principle by which God will judge us. It includes within the only way of salvation, it will remain to the end of the world, the supreme standard and final authority by which all matters of life and doctrine should be tested. Friends, how do you treat ang Word of God? Do you believe lang ba ang mga bagay na komportable sa inyo? When the Word of God said, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord." Do you obey that? Or dahil ikaw ang mas malaki sweldo, mas firm sa bahay, mas magaling sa planning, mas strong ang voice, nahihirapan ka mag-obey. How do you treat ang Word of God? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Ang comparison po ay love of Christ. Do you love sacrificially ang inyong asawa? Just like Christ to the church? Or mas madalas binubuhos mo ang iyong frustration sa asawa mo? Ephesians 5:3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. How is your daily life? How is your word sa office, sa bahay, with your friends? Do you recognize the authority of the Word of God sa buhay mo? Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together as a church. Eh bro, pagod na ako sa trabaho eh. I understand po. Pagod tayo sa trabaho gabi. Pero hindi sinabi ng scripture na to join ng gathering kapag hindi ka napagod. Scripture is clear. Do not neglect to meet together. Gaya ng nabanggit ko kanina, church is one of the glorious plan ng Panginoon. God will reveal ang kanyang glory sa church. Ganun po ang weight ng church. Again, nabanggit ko, church is a means of grace ng Panginoon for your growth, edification, to guard yung heart, yung life. Selective obedience sa Word of God and not recognizing yung full authority ng Scripture is dishonoring sa Panginoon. Ito ay kasalanan. Repent from your sins and change your ways. Nakita natin na one way to glorify God is to recognize God's work in your salvation and recognize yung full authority ng Scripture. And now let's look at the second way that we can glorify God based sa ating passage. Receive the blessings of God in Christ. Verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang same wordings na to ay ginamit din ni Paul sa iba pa niyang mga letters. Makita niya sa Romans 1, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, and 2 Thessalonians. Grace is a common greeting sa mga Greek. And peace or shalom is common greeting ng mga Hudyo. Grace ay isa sa pinaka-importanting words sa theology ni Paul. Grace ay define, na alam na nating lahat. I assume, ito ay unmerited favor from God. Ang favor na ito is completely, totally undeserved by you, by me. Nating inaas na kaya nating i-merit ang favor ng Panginoon, which is consistent sa buong book of Ephesians and theology ni Paul. Your salvation is by the work of God alone, by His grace alone. Sabi sa chapter 2, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace, you have been saved. Ang greeting na shalom or peace sa Hebrew ay may idea ng well-being. Marami itong kahulugan. When you wish someone shalom, you wish for prosperity, health, rest, sleep, salvation. Pero dito po sa Ephesians, Paul used ang peace or shalom mostly sa idea ng sinner's peace with God. Kita po natin yan sa chapter 2, verse 14, verse 17. And the believer's peace sa isa't isa. Paul is mostly describing peace as a vertical reconciliation, which is God, and horizontal reconciliation between us, sa tao. Paul wants us to receive ang grace ng Panginoon in Christ Jesus so that we can have peace with God and with one another. And hindi lang po ito one-time event. We are dependent sa grace ng Panginoon to sustain us. We need new mercy and grace sa bawat umaga. Paul begins and ends ang bawat sulat niya with grace. Na seems to emphasize na ang ating buong buhay is to live within the parameters, within the boundary ng grace ng Panginoon. Ano ba itsura ng grace na yan? Grace means, day by day, you understand na you don't deserve anything but judgment. If things are not going your way, huwag kang magalit sa Panginoon. Huwag mong questionin ang goodness ng Panginoon. You know na God doesn't owe you anything. Instead, pray that God would give you sufficient mercy and grace to go through sa mga situation na yan. Living under the grace of God is living in full dependency sa Panginoon. Receiving grace is receiving peace. Ang peace po is reconciliation with God, with other believers, and as a result, it gives you ng peace that surpasses all understanding na sa iba pang mga bagay sa buhay mo. Na whatever your situation, whatever season ng life mo, you can say, it is well with my soul. Kasi meron ka ng kapayapaan. Meron ka ng assurance na ang mahalaga sa iyo now is, kagaya nung kanta na it is well with my soul is, ang sabi doon, ito na mahalaga sa iyo. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Friends, ano yung mga bagay na hindi nagpapatulog sa'yo? Yung, what makes you restless? Friends, if you are trying to find ng peace sa iba't ibang bagay, hindi mo matatagpuan yan. You can find temporary peace, momentary peace. But you know na at the end of the day, something inside of you, may kabigatan, wala kang kapayapaan. Friends, if you are not in Christ, you are at war sa Panginoon. Yan ang kabigatang dala-dala mo. You don't know, hindi mo alam how to deal sa guilt ng kasalanan. You are at war sa Panginoon. Whether you like it or not, you need to deal ang bagay na to sa iyong Creator. It either deal with your Creator now through His Son Jesus or deal soon. It's either bumalik si Kristo or ikaw ang pumunta doon. There's no way out. Haharapin at haharapin natin ang ating Panginoon. God is offering you grace so that you may have peace with Him. And that peace with God will give you peace in everything else. Don't try to look somewhere else. Our passage is clear kung saan mo matatagpuan ang kapayapaan na kailangan mo. Look at verse 2 again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describe ang source ng blessings na ito. At ito ay galing sa Diyos Ama and Lord Jesus Christ. Ang word na from indicates the source ng grace and peace as from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this very word ni Paul sa Ephesians ay ang very word ng Panginoon. There's no other source ng grace and peace. That is clear. This is a gracious reminder to all of us. Turn away from your sins. Recognize na because of your sin, you can never be right with God. And there's no other way. There's no other way na you can settle ang war between you and your Creator. Hindi mo masisettle to on your own terms. Sabi sa Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved and you will have peace with God. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, let me encourage you. Ang common and we can say vital link natin with the author, kay Paul, with the Ephesians church, sa message ng grace and peace, lahat yan ay connected in Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself ang source ng lahat. Sa buong book ng Ephesians, makikita natin na ang puso at isipan ni Paul ay occupied ni Kristo. Ang kanyang theology is centered on God and what He has done for us in Christ. Sa dalawang verses na ito, nakita natin na it's all the work of God and it's all connected in Christ. Kapatid, rest on His grace kay Kristo. And live in peace with your Father in heaven and with other believers and you will find rest sa iba pang mga bagay. Church, ang peace, unity should be a mark ng isang church. If you are not in peace sa sino man sa kapatid natin, with anyone, reconcile now for the sake of Christ. If you have repented from your sins and believe in Christ, meron ka nitong lahat ng ito. You have all these things. Continue to be recipient ng grace and enjoy ang peace. Never try na umalis sa fountain ng grace. There is no other source. That's all you ever need sa life na ito and life to come. Just like Paul, ang sentro ng lahat ng ito is in Christ. May your life be founded, be centered, be mag-evolve, mag-umikot kay Kristo. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, gracious Father, we thank you for your grace in Christ Jesus. Thank you sa salvation that we have dahil kay Kristo. Father, kung ang kaligtasan namin ay nakadepende sa amin at sa kaya namin gawin, we will surely continue to run away from you. We will never come to you. We will continue to be at war sa iyo. Thank you that salvation is of the Lord. May we all be a recipient of your grace sa bawat araw and may we all live in peace dahil sa assurance na nanggagaling kay Kristo. Father, sa mga kaibigan namin dito na hanggang ngayon ay walang relasyon sa iyo, Father, have mercy on them. Just like Paul, sa ginawa mo sa iba pang Kristiyano, transform their hearts through the gospel. Let them see the greatest need ay peace with you. And may they find it in Jesus Christ. And as a church, I pray that we would continue to live in unity and peace that all flows from the Christ, the head of the church. May we display your glory in and through the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.